Our text for this morning is the 17th verse of the scripture just read, and it's the theme verse for this week. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Grace and peace be unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anybody who watches a fair amount of television, or on an occasion goes to the supermarket with the wife, is familiar with the phrase, new and improved. Now, for those of you that lead the ascetic life, it goes something like this. Hey, Marge, where are the puffs? I need to blow my nose. Oh, well, I don't buy puffs anymore, dear. I found something better. What? No puffs? How can anything be softer than puffs? Oh, these are, dear. You can take a stack of these and drop an egg on it from 5,000 feet, and it won't break. Hey, these are softer than puffs. What are they? They're new and improved puffs, dear. Paul, in our text this morning, speaks of you and I as new and improved. But he does so in a far better and different way than the world defines new and improved. Paul says that we are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The new has come in Christ. The old that has passed away is our old self, our old nature, our old Adam. It's perished, been killed off, done away with. It no longer has dominion in our lives. And we are no longer slaves to sin. Now the old Adam has been replaced by a new Adam, one that is new in nature, better than the old, far superior in value and attraction. It's different than the usual. But what makes our new man, new and improved in a far better and different way than the world defines it, is that the word new in our text this morning means the perfect counterpart of its predecessor. In other words, our new man is the exact opposite of the old man. Think of it this way. If our new man was just new and improved as the world defines it, our new man would be basically and essentially the same as the old man. The difference would be this. It would have to sin even more. But that the new man is completely different than the old man, the exact opposite, can be shown from the works of the flesh and from the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians and Colossians. Listen to the catalog of the works of the flesh. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. Now contrast that with the fruit of the Spirit that comprises the new man. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Isaiah paints a picture in his prophecies of the difference between this new man and the old man. Reading from his 11th chapter, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You see, our new nature is so radical in comparison to the old that it would almost be as if this very picture was taking place. The old man lives entirely for himself and to himself. But the new man lives solely to Christ. You see, the new man's will is in perfect conformity with God's will. Our new man completely desires and delights in pleasing and serving God and glorifying Him in all that it does. We are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, what Paul means by behold, the new has come is this. He means that we are a new creation and that it's a reality in our life, not sometime down in the future, but right now. Right now, today, we are a new creation. And we are to consider ourselves in that state. We're to consider that an established fact, to believe it. To believe it and to live our lives in such a way that it reflects that as an established fact. We are not to let sin reign in our mortal bodies any longer. Not to let our old man have dominion over us. And thus we have the greatest gospel motivation for living the Christian life and for serving God. Simply because we want to do it. Let's take a look at a couple of examples. I think it would be safe to say that on our campus, the one word that would bring our flesh out the most, our old man, is to go mention the word money. Now, if you recall, a few months back, the development department was asking each seminary student to raise $1,000 for the seminary. And if you'll recall that, you can probably just picture some of the expressions that were made. They want more money again? Haven't they robbed me enough? Where do they expect me to get all this money? My wife doesn't work. I'm not working. I paid my fees. That's all they're getting out of me. That's the old man talking. That's the flesh. But the new man who delights in doing God's will would say, ah, here's a challenge and an opportunity to serve God. I delight in that opportunity. I might not be able to raise $1,000, but I'm going to try as hard as I can to raise it because it's going to be for the Lord and for the future of the church. Or how will we as pastors, how will we regard the members of our congregation? Will we view them according to the flesh, according to our old man? Or will we look at them from the standpoint of the new man? Let's take a look at that less than spiritual member of the congregation. The one that seems to give us all of our troubles. The one that we know there's just no way he could be a Christian. We'll grouse about him to the church secretary or to our wife at home or to ourselves. And even sometimes in our hearts there'll be just a little bit of gleeful joy knowing that he's going to go to hell someday. And we take pride in that fact. But again, that's the old man, the flesh coming to the front. Rather, the new man would look upon this less than spiritual member of the congregation as Christ looked upon the multitudes, having compassion and seeing the people of the congregation as sheep without a shepherd, as lost and groping in the dark. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The new has come in Christ. It's only because of Christ's death and resurrection that you and I are a new creation. And Paul paints a graphic picture of how this took place. Our old man was crucified with Christ, buried with him in baptism. And as Christ was raised from the dead, death no longer having dominion over him, so we too were raised with newness of life. Our old man buried, put away, and a new man raised and resurrected in his place. We are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, consider it a fact, the new has come. Amen.